in reading in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 4. And I'm just going to let you stay seated right now. But beginning in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 4, the Word of God states, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. And all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, Father, as we come and approach your throne of grace and glory, we thank you for your goodness. I pray today, Father, that you would take my lips and use them for your glory. Father, Lord, help this congregation to hear your word. And Father, as we come together, Lord, may we truly come together, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, serving one God in one voice, and Father, one mind. Help us, Lord, now as we come to thee. And Father, we ask that you would speak to us today. And Father, we ask now, Lord, that you would take charge in things that are said and done here. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Well, Valentine's Day is coming up pretty soon, isn't it? And that's a day when people will be giving candy away in these little shaped boxes, like a little heart, you know. And folks will be eating that candy and enjoying the sweetness of it. I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but yesterday, I think it was yesterday, was National Dark Chocolate Day, you know. Now, Brother Woody, I know you don't like dark chocolate, but I know you like milk chocolate, right? Amen. So if y'all going to get Woody a Valentine this year, make sure it's milk chocolate, not dark chocolate. But as we think about this today, I think of the heart. You know, we consider love as coming from the heart. God in His Scripture, He looks at the heart, and the heart actually is everything that is within here. And the Spirit of God, the power of God, all lives within here, within those that are Christians. And the heart is very important to God. Not just the physical heart that we have that pumps the blood and keeps it moving so that we can breathe and we can live, you know, and we can sing songs and come to church and be a blessing to other people. But the heart is also something else. It's something that God gives us life through. And as He gives us life through that, I want to speak to you today on the subject of seven hearts that every Christian should have. Seven hearts that every Christian should have. Now, my friends, I know you only have one heart, right? But God tells us that there's seven different things in the heart that every one of us should have as a child of God. And as we think about this today, the word heart actually appears in the Bible 830 different times. That's a whole bunch. That's in the King James 16:11. And these verses we just read, there are seven distinctive attitudes of the heart that is imperative for us as Christians to have. If we're going to maintain a peaceful and serving attitude and not have that disturbed heart, then we're going to have to abide by these things. Philippians 4 could be the therapy needed for a recovery of a disturbed heart. Recovery of a broken heart. The wise man says in Proverbs 4:23, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So as I look into this message this morning about seven hearts that every Christian should have, let's look at the first one. And the first one is actually found in verse 3 of our chapter there. So let's look down to verse 3 and notice what he says. "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." What is that first heart, preacher, that we need to have as a child of God? We need to have a helping heart. Amen. We need to be people that do not mind to help, that we're ready to give a hand to anyone that asks. And sometimes we, as Christians, we really shouldn't even have to ask somebody for help. People should notice that we need help and just come right along and do that. One of the blessings of a church family is that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we come together and we work together serving God, but also serving each other and helping each other. So there's a helping heart there that we need. Notice that Paul writes to the Philippian church and he tells them, he says, "Help those women. Help them." Well, I tell you folks, we need to help some women in our church. Amen. We need to help them in different ways. Here we see that the two ladies that he's talking about is Euodias and Syntyche. And these ladies had some sort of disagreement between themselves. You know, it's sad when anybody has a disagreement. It really is. But these two ladies, they had a disagreement, and Paul is instructing them to make sure that you help these ladies. Encourage them to get along. Encourage them that maybe you have this little animosity between you that to fix that. Because God tells us in our hearts that and in the Word that if we have aught against a brother or sister, we're to do what? We're to make it right, aren't we? We're to get those things right with those people. Now, Paul is writing to believers at Philippi here. But apparently, in this letter, he addressed to these two specific people. He says, "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow." In other words, that means you are carrying the yoke that I carry. You're carrying the same gospel that I carry. You're doing exactly what I'm doing. You're following the Lord the way that I'm following. Very specific. He says, "I want y'all to help these ladies. I want y'all to be able to get along." And people in a church ought to be able to get along, amen? Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We are to help each other out and be there for each other. I mean, if we have ill will against someone, how can we help that person when they're in special need? And my friends, it's very, very utmost that the Lord teaches us that we need to help each other. So we see here then that these ladies Paul was writing about, that they needed this help, and he knew that he could count on these people to help them. We must be ready to give a helping hand to any and all Christians at any time in this world. You and I today, no matter what the problem or the situation is going on, we need to be willing and able to lend somebody a helping hand. Now, these people had been helpful to Paul when he was there laboring. And so he knew what they could do. He knew that these people would need some help. He knew that these ladies needed help because someone had called him, not on the phone, but by letter. You know, those things that we don't never send much of anymore. But they had sent him a letter and they had told him that these ladies are not of the same mind. But he tells them that they need to be of the same mind. And so he says to help them. The work of God will be hindered if two of his children are at odds with each other. Do you know the work of the church, the work of this church here, will be hindered if we are against each other? Right. So we must agree. Amen? We must work together. We must serve together. Yes, and I don't want the work of God hindered here. I don't want the work of God hindered in your spiritual lives. Because again, as I mentioned to you, I think it was in Sunday school, that as the under-shepherd here, I want you to be safe. I want you to be secure. And I want you to follow God's truth. You see, a problem between two people can be solved if just one of those people will become willing. When I was in college many, many years ago, my homiletics professor, his name was Kenneth Ridings, and I knew Kenneth Ridings before I went to college because he used to come and preach revival at our church, the church I was saved in, every single year. And man, I loved Kenneth Ridings. He was such a great preacher and a great man of God. But he shared with us one day in homiletics class, he said, you know, class, he said, talking about having aught with a brother, he said, there was a church that I pastored. He said, one of my first churches that I pastored, he said, there was a deacon in that church, and he and I, we just always butted heads. We just couldn't come to the conclusion together. And he said, I pastored there for 10, 12 years. And he said, finally, he said, I left there and I started pastoring another church in another town. And he said, I was out visiting one evening. And he said, I knocked on this door. And he said, this gentleman come to the door and he looked at me and he said, well, hello there, Brother Ridings. And guess who it was? It was that old deacon. And he looked at him and they began to talk to each other. And that old deacon looked at him and he said, you know what, brother? He said, I must apologize to you. He said, because you and I, when you pastored the church, we just couldn't get together. And he said, Brother Ridings, he said, I just want to let you know, I'm sorry. He said, I was wrong. And Brother Kenneth looked at that man with tears in his eyes and said, you know what, brother? He said, I was wrong too. And he said, it shouldn't have taken us this long to get these things right with each other. You see, if two people are in disagreement about things, the disagreement will continue until one person says, that's enough, we're going to make it right. And so God tells us here, he tells those Philippians there in that church, he said, I want you to come together. I want you to help this lady out because she needs help. Syntyche, she needs to get right with Euodius, and Euodius needs to get right with Syntyche. Now I know you're sitting there thinking, well, what names for ladies? But that was their names. And we're to help those who are having problems. No matter what problem may be. It can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be a marital problem or a spiritual problem. We're to help them and encourage them. And then we find also that not only are they to help there, but with Clement also. Evidently, Clement had something to do with this situation as well. And he said, all of my fellow laborers, I want you to help out. That was everybody in the church. So everybody needs to be invested in the things that we're doing in the church. Everyone needs to be invested in helping others in the church as well. Not just one or two people, but everybody being invested. This is our church, amen? This is God's church that He allows us to come to, and we need to be invested in the work of the church and the work that God's doing in the church and everyone that is in the church. Paul is dealing with individuals here. And when you deal with individuals and you deal with people, I learned a long time ago, you're not going to make everybody happy, right? But you know what? I try. I try as a pastor to make everybody happy, and I know I can't do it, but I try. You know the one that's going to make everybody happy? The Lord. And the Lord's going to be able to do that. I can't do it, especially if I don't follow after the Lord, and you can't do it if you don't follow after the Lord. Christians actually should take care of Christians. We should come alongside of them and shoulder up with them and go hand in hand and arm in arm with them. Because we never know what a Christian is going through. Because honestly, most Christians, they don't bear the weight of their problems to the entire church. And sometimes they don't bear it to anyone. And that's why we need to come alongside of them and help them. We're supposed to bear each other's burdens, aren't we? Isn't that what Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us? To bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's God's law that we are to bear each other's burdens. So we're supposed to do that. We should not necessarily go outside of the church necessarily to meet those needs of those people. You can meet them inside the church, you know. If you don't have that helping heart, you'll have a hindering heart. So a helping heart, number one. Number two, we need a rejoicing heart. Look down at verse 4. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We need to have a heart that will rejoice in the Lord and be excited and ecstatic about all the things that God is doing. Have you ever just sat down and rejoiced because what God has done in your life? I mean, if you sit down and think about it, my friends, there's all kinds of things that God is doing with each and every one of us right now. And we just got through singing this song, but do you know that there's a new name written down in heaven for you? And oh yes, it's mine. I don't know if y'all noticed a while ago, but when I got to that on one of those stanzas, I pointed at myself. There's a new name, and it's mine. Amen. I used to sing in a gospel trio, and we were an a cappella trio, and we used to sing that song. That was one song we used to open up with to a lot of the pro groups that we would sing with sometimes. And what a blessing it was when we would be able to sing that, and the joy of the Lord would come into the place because there's a new name written down. There's a new faith. There's a new glory. There's a new person there, my friend. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, I know in whom I have believed. Rejoice because you're saved, my friends. We need to rejoice because salvation has come to us. Are you glad you're saved? You know, if we're not glad we're saved, then why do we even come to church? If we're not glad we're saved, then why do we do anything that we do? I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad that I know I'm going to heaven. It's my joy. It's my peace. Do you rejoice in that? Do you rejoice when God pours blessings out to others? Not just to you, but to others. Or do you get upset because you didn't get the same blessing that they got, you know? I wish I could play a piano. I do. I see Elizabeth get over here and, man, she just goes up and down on that thing. I see Crystal get over here and do the same thing. And I'm going to tell you, that just blesses my heart. I stand back in awe and I think, whoa, you know. And I can't do it. I go over there and I can plunk out a tune, you know. It'll take me a little while, but I can plunk a tune out. But I can't do that. I don't get upset. I don't get mad because they can do it and I can't, though. That's just a blessing that God gave them. It was a talent that God gave them. He didn't give it to me. But I don't get upset and get mad because He gave it to them and not to me. And I hope they don't get mad at me because they have it and I don't, you know. My point is this, that we need to rejoice in other people's blessings. When people get blessed and they're excited about God, and when people join the church and they get saved and they're testifying about God and how God has worked in their life, we ought to be thankful for that, my friends. We ought to be praising Him for that. We need to rejoice with others. We need to rejoice with God, because God is the one that has given this, and we need to praise Him for it and lift Him up. Rejoice when it's raining. Rejoice when it hurts. Rejoice when there seems to be no answer. Rejoice when you would like to cry. Rejoice when you're financially distressed. Rejoice when you wreck your car. Rejoice when you don't want to. Rejoice evermore. An unknown writer wrote that. And what a sweet, sweet thing it is, because it's true. And then, number three, the next heart that every Christian should have, we should have a giving heart. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Let your moderation. He's talking about giving there. You give your heart, you give your time, you give your talents, you give of your monies, you give of your tithes, and all these things you give. Let your moderation be known unto all men. You need to have a giving heart, folks. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 again says, "Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." The Lord's watching us. The Lord knows us. The Lord knows when we're not a cheerful giver. The Lord knows when we're not giving the way that we should. And the Lord knows when you give and when you don't give, my friends. This goes beyond tithing. It goes beyond offerings. The word moderation here means to be yielded or yieldingness. And many Christians who aren't yielding, they don't get blessed. We need to give to others as well. I am truly thankful that I get to serve in a church that is such a giving church. I'm so thankful for this. When there's a need, my friends, you folks give. And I thank God for that willing heart. Remember, this is Fellowship Offering Sunday. And as we look at things that we need to do and things that are around the church that has to be done and people that are outside the church that needs help, listen, my friends, you folks always come to the occasion. And that's a blessing. It's not that way in every church. So we have that giving heart. And that giving heart needs to be something that all churches need to have and all Christians need to have. We need to let our moderation be known unto all men, to all women, to everyone in this place. And then, number four, we need to have a worry-free heart. How many of y'all ever worry? Anybody? You know, sister, you were the first person to raise your hand. Do you worry a lot? Sometimes we all do, don't we? You know, a worry-free heart. Careful doesn't mean to be careless. Look at verse 6. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." He says, "Be careful for nothing." It doesn't mean to be reckless, you know. And sometimes people that worry become reckless. Be careful for nothing means to not be anxious or worried. Anxiousness causes a Christian to act in haste and to get ahead of God. And we need to be careful of that, very careful, Christian, because we don't want to be ahead of God. We should be letting God lead us, amen? And sometimes we get a little over-anxious about things, and then we get ahead of God, and well, where's God at? Well, God's behind us, you know. We need to be careful. Worrying is something that I think every Christian really has a problem with. And we shouldn't. We should put our trust in God. He's there to help us. Psalm 127 and verse 2 says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrow." Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Here we are to trust in God. We're to trust in God with our life, with the day, the day that we are in now, the day that we'll come to tomorrow if God tarries, and any other day. We're to trust in Him, not to be worried about it. And Paul gives us a solution to worry in. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, give thanks. Instead of worrying, give thanks. You know. Now I know that's hard, friends. Especially when you're at the bottom of the barrel. Your emotions are broken. Your life is broken. Things around you are falling apart. And preacher, you want me to give thanks unto God? All I want to do at that time is be mad and hold my fist up to God. And that's usually what we do, isn't it? But God says we're to be thankful. I was taught a long time ago that no matter whatever state that we're in, we're to be content. That's what Paul says. We're to be content. And that's hard sometimes. I say that and I know it, but sometimes it's hard for me to do that as well. I'm honest with you. Sometimes I get in the flesh about it. And God has to whip me about it. He has to chastise me. And I wonder how many of y'all God chastises about that same thing. You see, instead of worrying, we need to pray. With thanksgiving, pray and talk to God. It's not a one-time prayer, but rather it's a continual prayer that we give unto God. And if we're worried, then maybe you've got a prayerless heart. And God wants us to have a praying heart, my friend. With thanksgiving, we're to be letting our requests be made known unto God. And too many Christians sometimes attempt a solution with themselves, without God. And the solution is not within us. The solution is with God, always. He says, but let your request be made known unto God. I think of George Mueller. He was of Bristol, England. And when I read this verse, he never told a soul about the needs of the orphanages that he worked in there. Yet saw every single need met over and over again in those orphanages. Over $7 million came in through prayer during the 1800s. Now imagine this, in the 1800s, over $7 million. That would be more like today's math, hundreds of millions of dollars. You see, my friends, we just got to trust in God. And sometimes it looks bleak. And sometimes it looks like that things just aren't going to happen the way it needs to happen. But when we trust in God, man, it builds our faith. Don't let the devil put worry on you. Don't let the devil put worry in your heart and your mind. We just need to trust in God. Amen. Amen. And then number five, we need to have a peaceful heart. Take your Bible and look down to verse 9. Verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul said, I'm an example to you. God has called me. I've preached to you. I've helped you. You've helped me. Thessalonica, the church there, has helped me. And we try to work together in all these things. I'm your example. Do these things which you've heard and been taught of me. And I stand here today as your pastor. I want you to follow God. I want you to follow Him and do the things that God tells you to do. Obey God. And the things that we preach from this pulpit, take it to heart, my friends. God doesn't lay a message on my heart to preach to you unless there's a need or a reason for it to be preached in the congregation. Don't sit around wailing in a poor me attitude or an old me, you know. You know, taking our little party horns and, you know, that little thing that goes out and comes back in. Don't just sit around doing that and pity me, you know. Instead of pitying yourself, there's probably somebody else around you that probably is in worse trouble than you are. A good many of troubled hearts probably could be made peaceful if they would just go to work for the Lord. Doing stuff for God brings peace to our hearts. You don't believe me? Ask these men that were in Bible class this past Thursday night. And what we talked about and how we shared and the tears that were shed in that class Thursday night. Amen. And the openness. Who is this God of peace? Someone once says. Well, it's my Savior. That's who it is. You see, the answer actually to that question is found in John chapter 14 and verse 26. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." Peace of the world is different. He says, "Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, I tell you, I think Jesus had something going there, you know. I think he knew what he was talking about. And if he knew what he was talking about, and I know he did, then we ought to follow in that. Amen. We ought to trust it. And then number six, I told you there's seven hearts. Number six is a satisfied heart. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I quoted that a while ago. And I've tried to learn to be that way, my friends. I've tried to be content. If only the Christians of 2025 could learn this. The common person in America today is not satisfied. They're not satisfied with much of anything. That's why we have a lot of trouble in America right now, governmental-wise, local-wise, school-wise. People just aren't satisfied. They're not satisfied with the job. They're not satisfied with their wages. That's why they go on strike. That's why we're paying $21 an hour to a person standing in McDonald's to not even pay you no attention when you walk up to the cash register. Am I right? People aren't satisfied with their job. They're not satisfied with their wages. They're not satisfied with their neighbor. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. They're not satisfied with their home. They're not satisfied with their spouse. And that's your own fault. Amen? They're just not satisfied, period. No wonder people walk around all day long with their, "Woe is me. I'm so sad. You know, somebody help me." Isn't that the way most people do? I go to a grocery store, you know. I don't usually find people smiling. Especially when we go to the register, and I don't smile then neither, you know. Go to the doctor's office. Lord have mercy. I've been going to the doctor's office and hospital so much here lately. I told Debbie, I said, we must be really getting old, you know. The doctor wants to give you this pill for that and this pill for that and this test and that test. And my goodness gracious, I thought I was done with tests when I graduated from school, you know. I guess not. We need to have a satisfied heart. Satisfied. I like that song that says, "Satisfied with my Lord." Amen. And then today in closing, I think this is probably one of the most important ones. Look down to verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And if our heart and our mind is kept through Christ Jesus, you know what will happen? We'll have a happy heart. Amen. I remember back when I was in, I think it was fourth grade or fifth grade. You know how we used to give Valentines in school, you know? And this little girl, she cut out a little red heart. And then she put a smiley face on it. And she wrote on it, she said, "Will you be mine?" I know y'all wondering, did I say yes? Yes, I did. But she wasn't mine for long. A little bit later on, the next year, she wrote a little note like that on her heart and gave it to somebody else, you know. But Jesus wants our heart, and He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be happy. He says, "And the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The heart is the byproduct of all these other six things that we've talked about. If the other things, those other six things are not in place, the heart cannot be happy. It won't be that way. And especially if you're lost, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you can't be happy lost. Oh, you can get possessions and all these things like this, but the more and more that you gain, the more and more that you want, and you're never satisfied, you're never happy. But God tells us that it'll keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us. That's eternal security, my friends. And by the way, that's eternal love. And that's exactly what every Christian needs to have, that eternal love. Not just for God, but for each other. Seven hearts that every Christian needs to have. What kind of heart do you have today? Is it a saved heart? Or is it a sinful heart? Is it a heart that's been given to Jesus? Or is it a heart that has walked away from the Lord? What kind of heart do you have today? Do you have a heart of faithfulness or faithlessness? You see, God wants us to have all these things and then have a happy heart. Friends, just here to tell you today that God loves you. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't have sent His Son into this world to die for you. And He did that. He did that for you and He did it for me. And I'm so blessed and thankful that He has. Well, today we need to honor Him. I'm going to ask you to stand, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Sister Elizabeth is coming. She's going to start playing a number of invitation today, and I'm going to ask you today, examine your heart. Examine your heart today. What's in your heart? Have you been saved? I know many of you have. But just because you've been saved, that doesn't mean that your heart is right. I'm going to ask you, friend, to get that heart right today. And whatever that need might be, I'm asking you to take it to God. Step out and come to this altar. Step out on faith and come to the altar and let the Lord help you. You know, we all need love. And the greatest love in this world is what God can give unto us. The greatest companionship, the greatest help, the greatest blessing God gives. I don't know what your trouble is or what your pain is, but God knows. Will you come? Will you come today, my friends? Let's pray. Father, as we come before Your blessed throne of grace, Lord, I'm so thankful for Your goodness. I thank You, Father, for watching over us today. And Lord, I'm thankful that You show us in this Word, Father, the things that we need to have as a child of God, the heart that we need to have, the heart that we need to yield. And Father, I ask You, Lord, to help us. Help us, Lord, when we leave this building, Lord, not to forget these things, but, Father, to ponder them, Lord, and hide them in our hearts. or that we might not sin against you. And God, we praise you for this. And we ask now that you'll take charge once again. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, if you would get your hymnal, turn to page 542. 542, singing, Lord, I'm Coming Home. If you're out in the wilderness roaming today, you can come home, my friend. Come home to Jesus.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home.
The blessings of God. Kent and Jill have been coming and visiting here for some time now, and I really appreciate them, appreciate their friendship, and you know, they've got involved and been a part of things that we've been doing here in the church. And I was talking to them the other night, and I said, y'all need to get in here and join the church, you know. And so they've been praying about it, and they told me this morning they wanted to come and join. So if y'all would come right here, I told them I'd be right here where they could rub shoulders with me, you know. I wonder what the pleasure of the church is today that we accept Kent and Jill as members of Calvary Independent Amen. Baptist Church. All right. All opposed by like sign. Nobody voted against you. Praise the Lord. Let me be the first one to welcome you to the church today. God bless you. And y'all come by and give them right hand of fellowship. Let them know that you're thankful for them and that you praise God for the blessings that he's given unto us. Amen. Every heart and mind clear?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Woody, would you dismiss us, please?